Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and obedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also, please respond in verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou meetest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they which are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them which through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18 in unison. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. Today, we are going to speak about temptation and how Christ has the power to help his people overcome temptation. We have begun our book by giving us three things concerning Jesus Christ, that he is firstly the creator, and he is secondly the sustainer, and he is thirdly the savior. He is the creator. All things were made by him, and he is the sustainer. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. You see Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 there. Says, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Do you see that? He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. That means all things is sustained by him. The whole universe, the reason why we have our breath, you know, in our nostrils and we are still alive and moving and kicking is because Christ is sustaining us. That's the big wonder of it all. Okay? And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, Christ died for our sins. And after he has died, he rose again the third day, and then he was ascended to heaven. And verse 2, you see in verse of chapter 1 says, by whom also he made the worlds. That's a very big statement, you know. This Son that God revealed made the whole world. He's the creator. He was there at the beginning of no beginnings, and he created all things, and he's a sustainer of all things. And he is made, now from verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4 onwards, all the way to the end of the chapter, tells us that he's made higher than the angels. He's more powerful than the angels because he's God. The angels are ministering spirits. Verse 14 of chapter 1 says, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth for them which shall be heirs of salvation? What are the purpose? What is the purpose of angels? God sent the angels to minister to us. They are at God's beck and call, and they are sent to be with us, to protect us, to help us. Right? You remember when Israel was in trouble, the southern kingdom was surrounded by the Assyrian army. God sent an angel in the night and killed 180,000 of them during the time of Hezekiah. One angel killed 180,000 ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who were heirs of salvation. They were trapped, you know. The big army came and surround the entire Jerusalem. And no one can go in, no one can go out. If there's no rescue, food will be gone. Drink water will be gone. And they will be dead. But God sent forth the angels. This is the Christ that the writer of Hebrews wants us to know. And know him in a very deep way. He doesn't want us to drink milk anymore. He wants us to drink thick, solid meat. He doesn't want us to be babies anymore in Christ. But he wants us to take solid meat. So what does it mean to take solid meat? Verse 2 of chapter 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That means, what God is doing for us in the spiritual realm that will permeate in the physical realm, God wants us to know what God is doing. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So every sin, every transgression, every disobedience against the law of God, our just God will deal with it. If we sin, God will deal with us. After our sins. And the Lord tells us that if you have received such a great salvation, right, chapter 2, verse 1, if you have received such a great salvation, God has given you such a great salvation, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? In other words, if you have received grace, you have been saved, and God has protected you, and you choose not to be protected. You choose to go out of the hedge of God's protection. Then
you know, you're going to get hurt. You're going to be harmed. Then you are to be blamed. You are culpable because you are responsible for your action. After what God had done for you, after what God has been merciful to save us, such a great salvation. So it's explained to us. How shall we escape if we neglect? Neglect means, you know, we treat it very lightly, what God is doing for us. Right? Which first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. After God had done all these things, miracles, you know what are miracles? Well, I was with an elderly lady yesterday, and she was sharing with me what God did for their family during the Second World War. And a few of them, first was the uncle. Grandfather was a pastor. This was a young girl. And grandfather shared how uncle and four of the sons was rounded up by the Japanese, and they were put on the truck already. And at that time, what to do? He said, miracle. You believe in miracle? You know, we heard of this Sok Ching, where the people are rounded up, and then they all got slaughtered. Very serious, very precarious. What happened? He said, oh, my grandfather called my uncle to come down off the truck. And the Japanese said, okay, let him come. He's so weak. Then his uncle called his four sons to come down off the truck. And they all left. They escaped. The truck was going and all would not return. Another incident. Mother is a piano teacher. And mother plays piano. The general would come to the house, several stars. And they had tenants in the house. And there was a group of tenants that were very rowdy and they were creating great problems within the household in that vicinity of the block. There was no peace in the place, and so the general found out from mother that something is happening to the family. So that evening, the general came, and there was another Japanese general that came also to the house. That guy is only one star, she related. And when he saw the many star general, straight away, he started to salute, and bow. And the general tell them, all get out. So the tenant, all the people who are giving big problems, troubles in the area, they all get out. They were cleared. So they were protected. Miracles, she said. She said to me, I want you to hear miracles. That God is real. That God protect his people. So here, the Lord is saying to us that God has saved you. And the salvation that you received is such a great thing that God has done. Do not take it lightly. So he says here, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward. Now, what did the angels say? Remember the angels came to Lot's house and told them that God is going to rain fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah and ask them to escape and run?
The angels were ministering spirits. They came to Lot's house to let them know that there is going to be a serious judgment. God is judging the place for all the sins of the place. And the angel came and spoke. And for every transgression and disobedience, Lot's wife refused to leave Sodom. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. The words spoken were steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, when we disobey God, there is a consequence to our disobedience. When we choose to go out of God's protection, we are going to suffer the consequence of our choice. And God doesn't want us to be hurt. He wants us to be protected. He wants us to live in His will. You see? How shall we escape, verse 3 says, if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. God shows all these things to us to help us to know how precious we are. He protects us. He guards us. He keeps us. You know, every day for us to live that 24 hours from morning to night, unharmed, saved. Do you know what are the things that has gone on around you to protect you? You may not have realized, but that's what the writer is saying to us. God is doing a lot of things to keep us, to strengthen us, to protect us, to bless us. And we must not take it lightly, this salvation that we have in Christ. For unto the angels hath He not put, verse 5, in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come. In other words, the whole world is given not to angels, you know, but to men. Right? When God created the earth, the universe, the focus was the earth. When He created the earth, man was the focus. Right? Man is to have dominion over all His creation. Right? So man is to rule, and even the angels are not put in subjection for the world to come. The book of Revelation tells us in Revelation 20 that we are going to rule together with Christ upon earth for 1,000 years. Right? Do you know where? Revelation, you turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And verse 4, it says, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead. In their hands they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. We are going to be kings and princes to rule with God on earth. Can you understand what we are speaking about? You know how a man who is vested to rule, what is the most important thing that we must have in order to rule? Our character. Godliness. Right? A father who is the head of the home, for him to lead the family, what must he have? He must have great love for his wife. He must not provoke his children.
He must love them. He must be vested with the wisdom to lead them, to show them the way. That is spiritual leadership. And we are going to reign. God is going to give us to reign over cities. You're going to be governors. How do you govern over people? By your character. That's why the Lord Jesus says, you bear the fruit of the Spirit. Then you know how to reign. The Lord said, I give you 5 cities. I give you 10 cities. You rule. How do you rule? You rule by your character. The character of God that you develop. And here, the Lord tells us, verse 5, that for unto angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Here we are talking about Psalm 8. Okay, he's quoting Psalm 8. Right? Thou hast madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Who is this him? Who is this man? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He will be the leader. He will be the one who reigns, and we will reign together with him. This is the Christ that is spoken here. He came as a man. God coming as a man. He is God himself. Right? And here it is described for us. But see, we see Jesus. Right? This is the Jesus that is the he that is described here. Right? In verse 6, verse 7, verse 8. Right? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Our Lord Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. In other words, he became man. The angels were spirits. Right? But Christ took on human flesh. Okay? For the suffering of death. Christ came in order that he may suffer death for us. He may take the penalty of sin for us. Okay? Crowned with glory and honor, that by his grace, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. In other words, he will be the one who would experience spiritual death for men, for everyone. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death is what the Bible describes as the second death. Not just the physical death, but eternal death, condemnation in the lake of fire. The second death, right? We said he that is born once will die twice, right? You're born with a physical life, you have no spiritual life, you will die the physical death, you will die the spiritual death. Okay? But he that is born twice, with physical life, with spiritual life, you will die once. You will die the physical death, but you will not die the eternal death, the second death. You will not be cast into the lake of fire. Because Christ has bore that death for you. Okay, so verse 2 says, verse 9 says, that by the grace of God, Christ should taste death for every man. So he was the one who would be the Savior to take the penalty of sin. Everyone who would be saved. They are saved because of him.
He suffered for them. He tasted death for them. In other words, he took death for them. He bared eternal death on their behalf when he was on the cross. Okay? For it became him for whom are all things. That means he, in him, right, all things consist. He is the one who is the initiator of all things. By whom are all things? He is the one that gives life, sustain life. You see, if he doesn't do anything, if he doesn't say yes, then it's no for us. He tells us today we are going to, you know, take our last breath, click, the light in you will shut out, then you will shut out. In him consists all things. In bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect. He's going to save us perfectly. We are going to reach heaven. But it cost him much. He's going to have to suffer eternal spiritual death for us. That's why on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was he forsaken? Yes, the Father had to turn his face away as he bare the sins on the cross. The Father allowed the Son, sacrificed the Son. Remember, Abraham is asked to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, and right at the crucial point where he was to thrust the dagger into him, God sent a goat caught in the thicket. And God said, stop, I've tested you. Use the goat in substitute. But for the Father in heaven who sent his son had to suffer the death. Right? Father himself could not save the son. So Jesus says, when he was on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father has allowed him to be the sacrifice. If you are a father, you know what it means that the son is sacrificed. How painful it is. Right? We understand this. Right? If you are a father, you are a mother, you know the pain of losing, sacrificing your own child, your own flesh, your own blood, the one that you brought up, the one that you painstakingly nurture, and to lose it. How painful it is. The Father had to turn his face while the Son suffered. Verse 9, he, by the grace of God, it was by the grace of God that the Son should taste death for everyone. For it became him for whom are all things. In other words, in him was the purpose for all things. He purposed everything. And anything that he purposed, it came to pass. He's the initiator for all things. By whom are all things? He is the Word. He is the one that causes all things to come into existence. In bringing many sons unto glory. Glory, what is the glory? When you reach heaven, when you receive the resurrection life, when there will be no more tears, no more sorrow. Right? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Those who reach heaven. But God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why did God make the eyes? We were having our Bible study this week. The eye is made for seeing and the eye is made for weeping. So one of our ladies says, I never thought of it like that. See, God's word is so wonderful. It teaches us, show us why all these things, why all this happens to us. What is all these things about? Right? We don't understand if God doesn't explain to us. So it says here, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more death in heaven, in the resurrection, no more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. We all endure pain. And some of us have to endure greater pain. God allow us. Right? We are more precious in His sight. God allow us to endure even greater pain than the rest of us. He loves us more. And He wants us to see more of His glory. He'll allow us to go through the greater pain. But there shall be pain no more when we reach our final destination. To make the captain, in bringing many sons, verse 10 of chapter 2, in bringing many sons unto glory. What is the glory? That you will arrive safely in heaven. Okay. To make the captain of their salvation, that is Christ, perfect through sufferings, that your salvation would be so complete. For both, verse 11, this is where we are going to speak about for today. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. He that sanctifieth. Who is he that sanctifieth? Christ. What is the meaning of the word to sanctify? It means to make holy. It means to set us apart from God. Okay. So He has saved us and He is set to make us more and more like Him so that the image of Christ will be formed in us. For it became him, so for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. What a friend we have in Jesus. Right? Jesus came as a man, Emmanuel, God with us, so that we can identify with him in our sorrow, in our pain, in our temptation. We know that we are not alone. God came in human flesh to be with us. God with us. God wants us to know. For both he that sanctifieth and they which are sanctified are all of one. God made us in Christ. One, we are perfect in the made perfect in the image of Christ. Right? The Holy Spirit in us. When we yield ourselves fully to God, when we walk one with God in Christ, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing unto thee. Here he's quoting Psalm 22, verse 22. All right, turn with me to Psalm 22, verse 22. Psalm 22, verse 22 speaks about the suffering of Christ. Right? That he will be the one, right, who will suffer for us. And the victory that will come after his suffering. Right? It begins, Psalm 22, verse 1, begin with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from me
from the words of my roaring. Right? Psalm 22, verse 1. Oh my God, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and not silent. So here is Christ in his suffering, in his passion, when he was upon the cross. And verse 22 is what is being quoted for us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. The victory. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. The victory that God gives us. And again, I will put my trust in him. Christ says that I will trust in my God. Right? He was ushered off to be crucified. He was whipped. And he obeyed the Father's will. He was that willing sacrifice upon the cross. He was willing to sacrifice for us on our behalf. All right? Is there a greater love than this? Someone who is willing to sacrifice for us, to save us? This is our Christ. And I will put my trust in him. The Father says, the Son says to the Father, I will put my trust in him. This was one of our messages when we were studying the life of Christ. He trusted in him. He trusted in the Father. That it was the plan of God for him to suffer. So, you know, God allowed us to go through suffering. It was the plan of God to for his glory that we go through a time of suffering. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. So what was this suffering? Well, the suffering is to win for himself, his church. Right? It's through suffering that God saved the family. In that time of suffering, in that time of calamity, God brought us close to him. God was manifested to us, and we acknowledge him. It is through suffering that we put our trust in God. I will trust, put my trust in him. And again, I and the children which God has given me, Christ said this. Who are the children? All of us who are saved, who trust in him, who believed in him. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy that him that had power of death, that is the devil. So when Christ was come in human flesh, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we are made in flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. Christ became man, that through death, to live a perfect life, and then to die for us, that he might destroy. His death was to destroy the devil, that he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, Genesis 3:15. Right? When Adam and Eve first sinned, the gospel was given. Right? God said to Adam and Eve, right, the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, not of men, but of the woman. She was virgin born. Christ, seed of the woman, will bruise the head of the serpent. The serpent will be defeated. All right? So here it says that through death he might destroy him that has power, the power of death, that is the devil. God wants us to take spiritual meat, right? Not drink milk. He wants us to know what he had done for us. so that we can learn how to live over and victorious life, overcoming life. You need to know. We need to know what God had done for us. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is saying to us. Right? And delivered them which through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This is us. Right? When he had to die on our behalf, had to suffer on our behalf, it is to deliver us. The them there is us. Right? In verse 15. And deliver them. Who are the them? All the children who are saved. All of us. Okay? Who through fear of death, right? What is the greatest fear? Death, right? Death. Death is the impasse, the greatest separation for men. Right? When death comes, everything stops. Right? Your life stops. Everything stops. Everything is gone. Through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, this death, this damnation after death, this impasse, right? We got no solution to solve the problem of death, right? Which is the curse for sin. How can we solve the curse for sin? Death. No solution. This is the solution. Christ is the solution. And the Lord wants us to know what God had done. Verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Right? We have just been studying the life of Abraham. Right? God promised him, in him shall all the men of the earth be blessed. How can the world be blessed? Through Abraham. It's because of the Christ that will come through the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Christ didn't come as an angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, came as a man. This was God's plan of salvation. If we know that Christ and we believe in him, we are going to escape the death. We will not be in all our lifetime subject to bondage. What is bondage? Bondage means to be under oppression. Under oppression. All lifetime oppressed. All your lifetime under oppression. Like the Israelites who were in Egypt, right? They were under the Pharaoh, made to do all the terrible tasks. No time to rest. Right. Abused, all time, all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. This is the Christ and what he had done for us. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Right? He came as a man and he lived a perfect life, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He is the God-man, the Theanthropos. As God, right, he connect God with men. As man, right, he connected man with God. He is the God-man, right? He is the one, he is that priest, the faithful high priest. Who is the high priest, right? In Israel? The high priest is the one who would plead on behalf of the people. He will offer sacrifice on behalf of the people. And what is the sacrifice? The priest was himself the sacrifice. Christ himself was the sacrifice. He was the high priest, And he was the sacrifice. That is what the writer is trying to explain to us. He was the one who is the mediator to reconcile us for sins, right? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Right? You do wrong. You sin against God. It has to be paid. There's a consequence to the sin. Who is going to pay it?